Saluton from BA. This is a Rorschach multilateral update from the 22nd of July 2025, a summary of what's going down in the world's major multilateral institutions. This week, we'll begin with Western defense. Amidst increasing threats from Russia against NATO, on Wednesday the 16th, a top US general said that NATO could take over Russia's heavily defended Kaliningrad region surprisingly fast. The comment came as NATO rolled out a new defense plan focused on the alliance's eastern edge. Members of the alliance are figuring out how to boost coordination and readiness now in case things escalate with Russia over the next few years. Still, NATO has had a lot of its own problems recently in getting its members to agree on spending. In more news on conflict, on Tuesday the 15th, the UN Security Council recognized the importance of how the attacks on Red Sea shipping and agreed to keep getting frequent reports on the matter through early 2026. Russia, China, and Algeria chose not to support the vote, pointing to US airstrikes in Yemen as part of the issue. The US says these rebel strikes, which have sunk ships and led to hostage situations, threaten global trade and regional safety. Recall that the Houthis are a rebel group from Yemen that have controlled parts of the country since 2014. In recent years, especially since October 2023, they've stepped up attacks in the Red Sea. They have been using missiles, drones, small boats, and even hijackings to hit ships they say are linked to Israel and sometimes other countries too. These assaults have disrupted global trade, sunk cargo vessels, and even killed crew members, prompting international military responses. On the same day, the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe's Human Rights Office announced that civilian suffering in Ukraine has increased as Russia steps up attacks, resulting in many recent casualties. They are also documenting torture of civilians and prisoners of war, along with forced disappearances and sham trials run by Russian authorities. Sexual violence against both women and men has been reported as well. Now in health news, on Friday the 18th, the Trump administration officially rejected recent updates made to the World Health Organization's pandemic playbook, arguing they hurt U.S. sovereignty. This included amendments to international health regulations that could impose binding obligations on member states. These changes introduced new classifications, like a pandemic emergency, and required nations to adopt measures such as digital health certificates and share medical resources globally. Trump's administration fears that these provisions would allow the organization to exert influence over U.S. health policy. Trump began pulling the U.S. out of the World Health Organization right after returning to office, and his team says even non-binding agreements would still be tools of influence. On Tuesday the 15th, the Pan-American Health Organization released a report warning that the treatment of mental health issues and non-communicable diseases in South America is projected to cost over $7.3 trillion between 2020 and 2050. As a point of reference, this figure is about the same as Latin America and the Caribbean's entire yearly GDP, which is a massive amount of money. The expected figure is driven by early deaths, disabilities, and drops in workforce productivity. On Friday the 18th, the Economic Community of West African States announced it was giving out 5,000 reusable menstrual sanitary kits to girls in over 20 schools in Benin. The effort is part of a push to support students who often miss class during their periods due to lack of access to products. The kits were locally made and come with training on hygiene and confidence building. In some energy updates, on Tuesday the 15th, the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries released research projecting that the world economy might do well in the second half of the year, even with ongoing trade spats. Remember that the US has been imposing large tariffs that have disrupted global trade for months now. In its latest report, the organization stuck with its previous oil demand forecasts for 2025 and 2026, pointing to strong performances from India, China, and Brazil, along with steady rebounds in the US and Europe. On Friday the 18th, the EU added two small Chinese banks to its latest round of sanctions targeting Russia, which are now in effect. Both banks are based near the China-Russia border and got hit in the EU's 18th sanctions package, which had been stalled for weeks until Slovakia dropped its objection. China strongly opposed the move, warning the EU that it would react if the banks were included, but did not specify exactly how. Also, on Friday the 18th, the UN General Assembly expressed support for the Secretary General's UNAT initiative, aimed at overhauling how the UN operates, with a resolution introduced by Russia and passed without a vote, as there was consensus. No country objected or asked for a vote, so it was just agreed upon by everyone present and passed smoothly. The goal is to make the UN more efficient, coordinated, and adaptable. While the resolution welcomes reform, some countries, including some in the EU, felt the process was pushed through too quickly and didn't allow enough time for proper discussion. Overall, Russia still has significant influence within the UN, despite many countries having been critical of its war in Ukraine and even punishing the country with sanctions. Meanwhile, in South America, on Wednesday the 16th, the Inter-American Development Bank, or IDB, signed off on a new 2025-2028 economic plan for Argentina, with government collaboration that will steer the country toward long-term, private sector-driven growth. The IDB group will contribute $10 billion. The plan targets three big goals: responsible fiscal reform, opening up the economy to attract investment, and stronger support systems for vulnerable communities. The aim is to create jobs, modern infrastructure, and improve everyday life for Argentines. Next up, on Tuesday the 15th, the International Monetary Fund, or IMF, announced that El Salvador hasn't actually added any new Bitcoin to its national stash since sealing a loan deal with the IMF in late 2024, despite what some officials from the country suggested. A report from the IMF clarified that any recent movement seen in the government's crypto wallet was just reshuffling, not fresh buying. The country had previously said it was regularly picking up more Bitcoin, but the new data shows that's not the case. On Thursday the 17th, the World Trade Organization announced that the UK had made a big contribution of £750,000, about $1 million, to help developing countries get better at navigating trade talks, especially in the fast-growing services sector. This funding backs training programs for government officials so they can be more involved in shaping and applying global trade rules. Sometimes developed countries will make contributions like this to help developing nations build trade skills and infrastructure. It's pretty common for members like the US or EU countries to chip in through trust funds, and these contributions help finance workshops, training, and trade-related support for poorer nations. On Friday the 18th, the International Labour Organization announced a new three-year program to strengthen Papua New Guinea's labour systems. The initiative aims to improve how the country manages its workforce and boost inclusive economic growth. The program includes carrying out a labour force survey and upgrading governance in the job market. At the launch event, the country's labour minister called it a big step toward creating a fairer and durable employment landscape across the country. Closing this edition, on Friday the 18th, the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, or ASEAN, announced that Timor-Leste is expected to officially become the association's 11th member by October. According to Malaysia's Prime Minister, the country has finished all the steps needed for membership, including necessary reforms. ASEAN's Secretary General confirmed that all member states backed the decision. And that's it for this week. Thank you for joining us. Remember, you can send us feedback at info@rorschach.com. Help us make our updates better. See you next week.